Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It is showtime in Iowa, stand and deliver time for Republicans and Democrats and independents who get the first say in the nation on who will be the next president of these United States. Iowans have had an earful and an eyeful for the better part of a year. Today, we'll hear what they've learned. This hour, On Point, first up, Iowa Democrats on Clinton, Obama, Edwards, and more. We'll hear in just a few minutes from a roundtable of Iowa voters about to vote in the Democratic caucuses in Iowa. If your local station gets both of our hours today, you'll hear Republicans up next hour. If not, check it out online at onpointradio.com. Joining me first today from Des Moines, Iowa, is Ann Kornblut, national correspondent for The Washington Post. Ann, great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Also with us from Des Moines, Dennis Goldford, professor of politics and political analyst at Drake University in Des Moines. Dennis Goldford, thank you very much for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Ann, look at these Democrats with us for a second. You've been following them for a long time. Here we are. It is the day. Iowans will be heading out soon. Hillary Clinton's gang giving out hundreds of snow shovels, we read today, for everybody to be ready to get across those sidewalks and slippery streets. How does it look on the eve, the last minute before we go into this vote?
Well, it's just unbelievable to me how close it looks and feels. I usually am willing to make at least private predictions by this point. I have been able to in the last two cycles, and this time I won't even tell my mother who I think is going to win because it's so close. All the crowds, I've been to see Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards all within the last 3 days, and the crowds for all three are just enormous. Internally, they're seeing good numbers, and all three have really substantial organizations. You mentioned the snow shovels. There's not that much snow today, which is good news for at least Clinton and Obama. But they all have similar kinds of organization going. So it's really, at this point, it's just too close to call.
And the whole country is watching. I'm sure you have very closely, and you've watched them all along the way. What do you read in these final hours, in John Edwards' case, that big 36-hour, middle-of-the-night push and all the rest? What do you, and Hillary's final television commercial, where she looks so glam, and I have to say kind of sexy. But what do you read in the body language of these candidates as they come right down to the wire in Iowa?
Well, they all are confident, and each of them has reason to be confident. They're obviously being told by their advisors that there's good news in the polls. All of them believe that they are at least going to come in either first or second right now. I mean, obviously not all three of them are going to, but they believe they will, and I'm very accustomed to being spun by their campaigns, and I have to say this time I really believe them that they think this is going to happen. So no one is confident that they're going to come in first. And all of them are looking ahead to New Hampshire and then after that on to South Carolina and Nevada. But at this point, they all think that there is good news. I honestly have not seen anything like it before.
Dennis Goldford there at Drake. It's really too late for the business of projections. I mean, we'll know soon enough. Iowans will stand up in their precincts, with 1,700 and some across the state, and do the necessary for the caucus. But how do you see this caucus campaign in its last minutes compared to everything else we've seen in Iowa over many years of caucuses? What sets this one apart?
I think the sheer massive amount of press attention and the massive amount of spending and organization on the part of the campaigns. We've seen the basic breakdown of the federal financing, public finance system. And Edwards, of course, is taking public money because he's not raised the kind of money that Clinton and Obama have raised. But we're seeing simply just an incredible amount of spending on both sides with, as Ann said, tremendous organizational efforts. The old phrase about the Iowa caucuses is you've got to organize, 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 and get hot at the end.
Is Iowa worth the candle? So much money has been invested this time like never, ever before. I mean, after all, what is it? Maybe 200,000 people out of the few million in Iowa. You're the political scientist. I guess the strategists all believe it is. But is there a pot at the end of the gold at the end of this rainbow for these candidates?
Well, given that no rational person would design this whole nomination system deliberately and intentionally, yeah. we have a case that by historical accident, Iowa is the first event. Iowa is not first because it's important. It's important because it's first. And what we have is analogous to everybody around the country watching a set of race cars that various organizations have built, and they're putting them on the track for the first time, and we're going to see how they perform. The rest of the country observes that and takes from that their estimation of which one is likely to be the fastest as it heads towards November.
And we're going to hear direct from Iowa voters in just a moment, but you've been watching this so closely for so long now. Give us a sense of the, how you see the evolution of this campaign season in the Democratic quadrant having unfolded here. I mean, there was a time when it was just seemed from the outside anyway, all about Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards seemed a kind of softer, happier guy than now, and Obama was, well, that was just a dream not so many months ago. What's the evolution been, Ann?
Well, I think you're exactly right. The evolution is that there was an inevitability storyline early on that was all about Hillary Clinton, and over the last year now, it's been almost a year, about 3 weeks shy of a year since Hillary Clinton announced, Barack Obama came onto the scene, grew an enormous organization, particularly here in Iowa. John Edwards continued to do what he had done from the outset, which is to campaign here in Iowa. And it became, by virtue of Iowa's strength, a three-way race. It's still not, I mean, if you were to judge by the national numbers, a three-way race. When it comes to money, it's a two-way race between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But John Edwards has made a three-way race here, and so Iowa has really defined the race differently than anyone anticipated a year ago, in essence making it a real race and making sure that Hillary Clinton was not inevitable.
Your colleague at the Washington Post, Dan Baltz, writes today that the Democrats, in effect, in the choice they make, and this may be true for the Republicans as well, we'll look at that next hour, but the Democrats are going to be, caucus goers are kind of choosing the tone and image of the party with whoever comes out on top here. Do you agree? And what's the choice? How was the party defined if it goes for Obama, if it goes for Clinton, if it goes for Edwards, Ann?
Well, the defining sort of metric of the race so far has been change versus experience. The Clinton campaign would argue that she is both change and experience, but in essence, she is the experienced candidate. If she is elected, wins today, I would argue that it's a testament to her ability to be president on day one, as she likes to say in her Stump speech, versus Obama's assertion that he would be the change candidate, same with John Edwards. So I think we will see a lot of this after tonight, but I just used the word election. I would say, you know, obviously right. After tonight, we all pick up and fly straight to New Hampshire, where something completely different could happen. So we'll make a lot of, we'll do a lot of post-reading into whatever happens in the caucuses, but this is by no means over, and it could change again, you know, 5 days from now.
Just one stop, but it's the first stop, and the eyes of the nation well and truly on it. Ann Kornblut in Des Moines for The Washington Post. Always good to talk with you, Ann. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Dennis, how do you see this issue of the Democratic Party defining itself by its choice of candidate? You know, we've seen words attached to different candidates. Barack Obama, I don't know, change or hope, maybe. John Edwards in this campaign, it's been so two-fisted, blistering. Anger is a word that gets attached to John Edwards often. Hillary, I'm not sure what the single word is. Maybe it was experience, maybe it's something else. How do you see the definition options that are facing Democratic caucus goers here, Dennis?
I've characterized the race as one in which Hillary Clinton is attempting to run from the center of the party, attempting to say, I know the system, I know how to work within the system. Edwards has been running this time around, as opposed to 2004, from the left of the party, the angry populist attack on special interests. And Obama, in a sense, I would argue, is trying to run from above. That is, he's running against the whole idea of partisanship and division and so forth. The last person to try to do that was President Bill Bradley in 2000.
Well, candidate that, Bill Bradley never did well, make president on that beat.
Right. That's my point there. Mm-hmm. And Obama, I think, is a better candidate than Bradley was. But nonetheless, it's an attempt to say we want to get beyond the partisanship that many people are very tired of. But I think, you know, the Clinton focus on the system and reference, of course, to her credentials immediately puts people in mind of the 90s and her husband's administration. And she runs a risk of asking people to look at this election as if it were an election for Bill's third term. Mm.
Let's go. Let's go state to the street in Iowa for just a moment, if we may. Greg's calling from Iowa City, Iowa. Hi, Greg. You're on the air. What do you see there?
Hi, Tom. Hi. How are you?
Very well. What do you know?
See quite a folks. Been seeing quite many folks in the last few days. I'm a precinct captain for Hillary.
Okay.
And I tell you, the streets are abuzz because everyone's wanting to get this thing over.
To get it over. What do you say about those big Obama crowds at the rallies, about those fired up Edwards people? How confident do you feel or not feel, Greg, for Hillary?
Well, I feel confident because I know she's got the organization in other states as well. In Iowa, I feel
Is that a concession comment right there? Are you conceding?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The reason I feel confident for Hillary also is, like one of your experts there was saying, that she's coming from the center. And really, the people I've found in my precinct, they really have looked at the issues hard and chose Hillary because she is coming from the center and has really looked at the issues.
Are they tempted to wander off the reservation? Do you have to pull them back? Do they get goggle-eyed over Obama or fired up with Edwards?
No. I have many people that are dead. You know, I kind of went through the calls the last 3 days and trying to feel that out. And no, the ones that are dead set are there, and we have numbers for that in my precinct. But there are a lot of people still undecided.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are all about Iowa today and the Iowa caucuses, talking this hour with voters, analysts, and reporters about the Democratic candidates and who stands where on Iowa's caucus day. It's Iowans tell-all time on the caucuses of Election 08. We've been joined from Des Moines, Iowa, by Dennis Goldford, professor of politics and political analyst at Drake University. In just a couple of seconds, we're going to sit down with a roundtable of Iowa Democrats to hear their thoughts in the final hours and minutes before this caucus comes up. Let's hear just a little bit from the candidates, Democrats, late on the trail. Here's Barack Obama, his voice showing the toll of the campaign, revving up supporters at Des Moines High School and talking about change.
You have the chance to cast a new vision, to set a new direction to this country. Tomorrow you have the chance to say, yes, we can. I believe you will.
He wants to believe they will. For her part, Hillary Clinton was talking about her ability to bring people together and get things done.
Holding public office is a public trust. And you're supposed to get up every day and not think about how to gratify your own ego, but how to solve the problems that the people you represent have to make their lives better.
And John Edwards was out there with rocker John Mellencamp at his side making his final plea.
Go to the caucus. Stand up. Speak out. Change this country. Show what you're made of.
Stand up. Speak out. He's still hollering right there. Let's get a call from Suzanne in West Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Suzanne. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'd like to just make the simple point that after what this country has experienced with this administration and since the year 2000, and such a dramatic, almost a failure of our political system, that I don't think that experience is going to be an asset for Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think somebody made a point during one of the debates that, hey, Dick Cheney has a lot of experience, but he armed Saddam Hussein in the Iran and Iraq war. He armed Bin Laden during the Cold War against the Russians, and we still let him mess up international affairs. And, you know, the negligence of the Democratic Congress to not impeach this administration for its blatant disregard for the Constitution. I mean, if we just keep our sights on the simple facts of what a dramatic failure this has been, I think, you know, Hillary is being muddled more than probably any of the other Democratic candidates.
So you're fired up, Suzanne, and a lot of Democrats are. Clinton's maybe not got quite the anger up her sleeve that you're looking for. I'm not sure. So where are you looking?
I think many people think she's compromised herself too much and that she's too ingrained in the system and the way it works and the way it fails. And She's done nothing, you know, she doesn't talk much about campaign reform. I don't think she's really...
Who are you signed up for, Suzanne? Who's got your commitment card?
Well, right now, Obama is looking the best. I think we need the most progressive candidate out there.
Why not Edwards in that case? He says he wants to change everything, kick the corporations out of town.
I'm also an economics student, and I don't think protectionism really is the key to improving our economy either. Mm-hmm. So I think Obama's got the best package as an intelligent person who has at least an open mind. He's already done something for campaign reform and for the ethics committee and that. And
Suzanne, we've got it. We appreciate it. Good luck with your caucus time tonight. I want to bring in a roundtable of Iowans who are all preparing to get busy at caucus time very, very soon now. We've got sort of one of every stripe here. Well, not quite every stripe. It's a bigger field, and you can jam on the stage a lot of times these days. But let me introduce the roundtable we've put together here. First, joining us from Iowa City, Iowa, Nancy Lee Zizi. She's supporting Hillary Clinton, 69 years old, married, one daughter. She's a social worker at the Cedar Rapids Community Health Free Clinic. She will caucus at the Pierce Middle School in Cedar Rapids tonight. Nancy Lee Zizi, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
And from Des Moines, Ira Lasher is here. He's supporting Barack Obama. He'll caucus at the Merrill Middle School in Des Moines, 52 years old, a father of teenage twins. He's a freelance writer and marketing consultant, former sports writer and copy editor. Ira Lasher, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And from the John Edwards camp, Master Sergeant Sean Larson. He'll caucus at the Callahan Middle School tonight, 41 years old, serves full-time in the Iowa National Guard, served 13 years in the Air Force. From March to August last year, he was deployed in Afghanistan with the 755th Air Expeditionary Group stationed at Bagram Air Base. Sergeant Sean Larson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Sean, let me come first to you. John Edwards, why? He's portrayed often as the angry man. He wants to tear down the corporate lock on America, he says. Why are you lining up with him?
Well, one of the main reasons why I'm lining up with John Edwards, or Senator Edwards, is because he's for bringing people together, and we have to remember that we are citizens first of the United States and not consumers. And that is what got me interested in him, is trying to break up the corporations. He hasn't taken any lobbyist or PAC money, and that's kind of why he hasn't raised the money as the other candidates has.
If you're looking for somebody to bring the country together, why not Barack Obama? He's got rainbows, you know, of diversity on his yard signs. He talks about hope. He's always struck that tone of we're all Americans. Why Edwards over Obama in that case, Sean?
Well, and I like all the candidates, but Senator Edwards has a plan, and I've looked at his plan, and I've researched his plan, and it's the plan that has hit me the best. And Senator Obama hasn't really shown that to me yet.
You know, I read here, Master Sergeant Larson, that John Edwards talks a lot about two Americas, and he's taken some criticism for that. I read here that that gets under your skin when people criticize John Edwards for making his two Americas charge. Why?
Because it's not about two Americas. It's about Senator Edwards bringing one America together. It's about bringing political parties and citizens and creating one America again. And because there is partisanship, because corporate America seems to have started to tear apart our country, he wants to bring one America back.
Nancy Lee Zizi, you're in the Clinton camp. Are you hard and fast there? Any chance you'll skip across the line tonight and vote for somebody else?
No, not at all. It took me a while to make my decision. We have so many wonderful candidate choices this time. But I decided Hillary Clinton is a workhorse. She works hard. She's not just an inspirational speaker. She is very knowledgeable about the health care system, which is very broken, and that's important to me. She also has a plan for veterans and has worked for healthcare for them. What many people don't realize is in October, the Department of Veterans Affairs released a press release that said that almost 50% of the health problems in this war are mental health problems. Clinton is for mental health parity.
even mental health parity with every other kind of health care. Nancy Lee, let me ask you if I may. You say she's a workhorse, not just an inspirational speaker, you say just now. Is that a dig at Barack Obama?
Oh, I don't want to take a dig at anyone. I feel that he is a very inspirational speaker, and I think she can be too. But I've noticed in the ads recently that the inspiration aspect has been emphasized. I want to make sure that whoever takes over this mess we're in has a chance of making it better.
Ira Lasher, you are our Obama supporter in the roundtable we've put together here. Nancy Lee doesn't want to lay it on hard, but there's a little hint there that she sees inspiration in Obama, but she wants something more on the workhorse side. So if we got, charisma here, plus what it takes to get the job done with Obama?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. I think that one of the things that Iowans and voters across the country need to recognize is what Teddy Roosevelt said about the presidency, that at best the presidency is a bully pulpit where the president can inspire people on different sides to be able to come together to make things possible. And what drew me to Senator Obama was his style and his approach, not a confrontational approach. And when was the last time that you tried to fix a problem with a customer service representative or a bill by being threatening, by saying we're going to take you on? 9 times out of 10, or even 99 times out of 100, that simply doesn't work. It's a lot better to work with your adversaries than to try to threaten them or to bully them. And Senator Obama has taken the approach of trying to work with those who are responsible in all areas of the system. His approach is the system is broken and we've got to repair it, but it's still the best system that's ever been devised. What can we do to repair it, and how can we do it?
Let me ask you, what do you say then to the John Edwards charge, and it's been delivered loud, long, and hot, that you can't nice our country's problems into solutions anymore. He said you can't fix these issues with niceness. John Edwards says, he says sort of righteous anger has found its time, kind of in the Teddy Roosevelt vein. Pound the fist and be tough.
Well, don't forget that Teddy Roosevelt said, "Walk softly and carry a big stick." It's a two-pronged approach. I would say that the only thing that a confrontational approach promises to prolong is the era of payback politics that we have been involved with in the last several decades. It doesn't seem to me to be the right way to try to bring that era of payback politics to a close, which I think is the number one issue in this country. What can we do to get both sides working together to identify the things that we can all agree on so that we can take small steps to start on these policies that can lead to bigger gains and bigger gains than that?
Dennis Goldford there at Drake University in Des Moines. What do you hear in our panel? We've got the span across the top three contenders here, Obama, Clinton, Edwards. You hear the basic argument being made for each. Do you see transformational politics here, a risk of sticking in payback politics? How do you hear our panel, Dennis?
The sound from all three is that the various organizations have gotten their message across very well. All three people represent their candidates and the messages the candidates have been putting out for quite some time very well. One of the difficulties for Democrats is that they have to remember that they will go up against Republicans in November. And Republicans don't talk about getting past confrontational politics, and the Republicans don't forswear various kinds of obviously economic interests. So one of the difficulties for Democrats as they pick a nominee is to remember that Republicans very much play hardball when it comes to politics, particularly presidential politics. The Democrats too often get trapped in the position that they just want to be nice or don't want anybody to think that they're not nice. But Democrats are trying to find a candidate who will be tough enough to go up against the Republicans.
Ira Lasher, what do you think? Barack Obama, does he get eaten up by the Republican attack machine if and when it comes out, and you can count on it in 08? Or does he kind of outflank the Republicans with a higher message of hope? Do you think enough Americans are ready for that?
Well, Senator Obama has had a track record of working with the opposite side, if you want to just characterize them as purely Republicans or purely those on the other side of the people. As a community organizer, he was able to bring the city bureaucracy of Chicago together with unemployed folks in his area to enact job training programs and various other things that help get people back on their feet. In the Illinois Senate, he worked with Republicans in the Senate to pass the most sweeping ethics reform that the state of Illinois has ever enacted. He has been very, very easy to work with across the aisle in the United States Senate to get similar measures enacted as
you
well.
You think the National Republican Party will make nice with him, as maybe they did in Chicago and maybe some did in Springfield, Illinois?
Well, that, you know, if you go back to when Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980, you had a similar situation working on exactly the other side, where analysts said a Republican conservative president is never going to be able to work with a Democratic Congress and to get legislation passed. President Reagan was able to get most of his agenda in his first term through with a hostile Congress, and this just proves that a person who is able to rise above the kind of confrontational politics that seems to be embedded in the system can actually make things work. And Reagan was able to do that by getting people to agree. And Bill Clinton, too. Who would have ever thought that a Democratic president would have been able to enact welfare reform, that is to say, making tougher requirements to be able to get welfare, with a party of the Congress of his own party?
So it can be done, you say.
Excuse me, but these people's personal style was able to rise above what this artificial divide.
So
yes, it is possible.
Yeah, there's Obama put forward as the new Reagan in a way. Let's get a call from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Jody, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to call and say, first of all, I'm a first-time caucus goer, and I'm 47 years old. So
all right, it's about time.
I could have been attending. I know. Tell me about it. All I have to do is walk right across the street at the school I teach at.
Right. What's brought you out, Jody?
Well, here's the deal. I was first attracted to Obama on with the books that he wrote and his whole essence on civility. I went to his first campaign stop on February 10th at Kennedy High School. I've been following him ever since.
Way back, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I think he speaks across the generations. You know, like I said, I'm 47. I was talking to a lady at the candle store I go to last week. She's 75, first time she's ever going to caucus, and she's caucusing for Obama. The other, I have a 15-year-old son. I expressed that perhaps I was leaning towards another candidate last week, and he looked at me and he said, "How could you? You have got to be for Obama." So I'm going to bring him along as an observer tonight. So I think there's something unexplainable that is attracting us. I mean, there's this vision, there's this character, there's this hope. And I think that is something that's crucial.
Sounds like you may be a threefer for Obama. And Jody, thanks for your call. Nancy Lee, are you getting a little sweaty palm there for Hillary? Or are you confident that her base is going to come out and do the necessary?
Oh, I think she will do well. And I think she's someone who's shown us that she has the toughness to get through bad things. She certainly went through a lot during her husband's presidency, and she came out on top. I think she works across the aisle very well, too. I just don't see any holes in her plan or her campaign.
Master Sergeant Larson, what about John Edwards when he goes up against the experience of Hillary Clinton or the charisma of Barack Obama? What's the special fire you think may put him over the finish line ahead?
Well, I think his organization here in Iowa has been awesome. He has got people out in the rural areas. He's brought people together, and he's ensured that he's included everyone within the community to come out to his events. So I think you're going to see some different numbers than what we're seeing in the polls right now.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are all about Iowa today as the Iowa caucuses. Well, they are right in front of us now, and it won't be long before we know the results of the first formal vote of presidential election 08. We're talking this hour with a roundtable of Democratic voters who will be at caucuses tonight. We've got an Obama supporter here, a Clinton supporter, a John Edwards supporter. In our next hour, we'll talk with Republicans. Here's former President Bill Clinton yesterday at the Iowa Historical Society rallying once more the troops for Hillary.
What you really care about in public service, and the only thing that matters, is whether people are better off when you quit than when you started, and whether our children and grandchildren have a better future. If that's your test, this is your candidate, a great president.
And that's right, says the lady in the front row. Let's go to Tira, calling from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Tira, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that yesterday I spent some time, I went to listen to Hillary and then Barack, and then I wrapped it up in Iowa City with Bill Richardson last night.
All in one day, only in Iowa right now.
Well, we just moved from Texas, so I'm taking advantage of this.
Great.
I just wanted to say that I think ultimately what we need to do is ask ourselves who can win against the Republicans. Or Hillary was very organized. I was impressed. The Obama session was more like a, I don't know, I felt like maybe I was a cheerleader, talking about hope the whole time. Richardson really talked about the issues, what he's done, what he's going to do. I mean, this is a man who's had 5 Nobel Peace Prize nominations for his work in Sudan, his work all over. He's met with Fidel Castro.
If he's so good, why is he not higher up in the polls, Tira?
Ask the national media that, because they're not covering him. I mean, this is Iowa. We can make a difference here. We like underdogs. I think this is our chance. We would be doing ourselves a great disservice if we ignored him right now.
Tira, let me take it up with our panel, and Ira Lasher, I'll come first to you. You've got a very experienced tier below this top tier in the polls anyway, Senator Chris Dodd, Senator Joe Biden. You've got New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson right there. Do you think the Democrats are making a mistake, or the national media, for that case, in not looking deeper in the stack?
Well, I can't speak for the national media or for anyone else, but I can tell you that I did not make my decision until fairly late in the game. I didn't make my choice until around July, and I had been to a number of other party or a number of other candidates' events, including Governor Richardson. What I did was I researched all of these folks to find out what their backgrounds were, what they have done. There were some things that I found out about Governor Richardson that that caused me to back off of him. One of the things, for example, was that he went to work for Henry Kissinger's lobbying firm on behalf of the energy industry after he left the governor's chair. Another thing was that investigative reporter Greg Palast has noted that the most numbers, proportionally speaking, of disenfranchised voters, those whose registrations were lost, et cetera, came from, proportionally speaking, came from New Mexico while he was governor. So he did not strike me as someone who inspired confidence in me as a progressive Democrat to get things done. But I think the Democratic Party this year is blessed with a plethora of excellent candidates. The question, again, as you and some other callers have noted, was how can we get that critical mass of voters out to the polls in November to be able to offset some of the things that unfortunately are going to happen. There was a story in USA Today yesterday. The lead story in USA Today spoke about how tens of thousands, if not millions of voters across the country were disenfranchised in 2000 and 2004 because registrations were mysteriously lost or misplaced or provisional ballots were not done. We have to get a critical mass of people out to the polls in November in order to counter that. And from my experience, with this campaign, Senator Obama has been able to accomplish that far better than any other candidate. I am astounded by the number of people that I would have never considered involved in the political process that I have seen lining up behind him, people who I know who have told me that they have never caucused or that they were independents and that they decided to stay home. So again, it's a question of critical mass of getting people out to the polls.
And you think Obama might do it? Dennis Goldford, let us come to you on this issue. First of all, on the issue of electability. In 04, we heard a lot about this in the run-up to the Iowa caucuses. Iowans trying to figure out who they could push forward for Democrats around the rest of the country who would win. And, of course, we saw what happened there with Howard Dean and then John Kerry, who most certainly didn't win. Is that a big theme this year, or are Democrats fired up enough in their different camps that they're not worried about it wherever they stand? And what about the issue of independence, the role they'll play in the caucuses tonight in Iowa and may play in the general election to follow, Dennis?
There's always a tension between what we could call pragmatists and purists in a political party. And the purists are the people who have a particular candidate they simply love or have certain principles they want to advance regardless of practical consequences. And the pragmatists are the ones who say none of this does us any good unless we get elected. So there's always this kind of tension in both parties. One of the things that the Democrats have to bear in mind is that since 1952 – with the exception of 1964, the Goldwater year, since 1952, no Democratic candidate, winning or losing, has won a majority of the independent vote. So both parties are less than a majority in terms of party identification, but the Democrats have struggled to win the independent vote, and they have to pay attention to that. Now, in the caucuses tonight, what sometimes people outside of Iowa forget is that as opposed to New Hampshire, where an independent can walk into the polling place and ask for a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot, independents in Iowa cannot, as independents, participate in the caucuses. They can show up to a party caucus and say, I want to participate and re-register as a member of this particular political party. That's certainly possible.
And we read that many are planning to do that.
Well, there's not a history or tradition of a large number of crossovers like that, but a recent poll in the state suggested that 40% of likely Democratic caucus goers are, in fact, independents. Some people think that's wildly over the mark. Some people think that may be the case, so that remains to be seen.
Mm. Let's see if we can get a call here from Alyssa in Salem, Massachusetts. Hi, Alyssa. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that to me, Obama sounds unrealistic. I mean, he is inspirational, but to me he sounds unrealistic when he talks about negotiating with companies, like drug companies and so forth. And as a strong union person, as a teacher, I feel that I just feel like falling behind Edwards, because his message, at least, is to fight the corporations and not make these nice deals. I mean, when I think about union organizing, unions go nowhere if they were to trust the corporations. Unions about organizing to have some leverage, and it scares me when I hear the way that Obama talks.
John Edwards says corporate greed is killing the middle class and stealing your children's future. Do you see it that way, Alyssa?
Well, I mean, from my experience of being in the teachers' union, of being a teacher and so forth, I was living in California when Schwarzenegger tried to take away the teachers' pensions. Mm. And then President Bush was trying to campaign for everyone, for federal workers, taking away their pensions and moving towards the 401Ks, and for teachers that would be 403Bs. And it's that type of movement, and I see that all as part of towards privatizing everything.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all as challenging unions, as challenging state workers, federal workers, and to me it's very scary when I hear Obama talking about that we're going to sit down at the table and make deals and negotiations and so forth, because I don't hear him talking about unions, but I hear Edwards talking about unions. I hear Edwards talking, when he says fight, to me that means unions, that means people organizing and so forth. So,
Alyssa, we've got it. Master Sergeant Sean Larson, that sounds like an out-of-state voter leaning toward your guy, John Edwards. He clearly wants to go with the fight theme on the economy. I wanted to ask you, with your experience as part of the military in Afghanistan, just this last year, the year just gone by, what about the war issue? We haven't heard as much about it in recent weeks. You were just there. John Edwards is pull 40 or 50,000 out right away and everybody out within 9 or 10 months from Iraq, as I recall. As a military guy, how do you look at Edwards' position on the war in Iraq?
My personal belief is that we need to bring the Sunni and the Shia together, and the Kurds, to have them work together to build their country back. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to force them to talk. And that is one way to force them to talk.
You mean getting out so that they're just left bees in a bottle?
No, not at all. You're still going to bring in other countries and have them help with the plan to build this country back.
But do you agree with your candidate, John Edwards, when he says basically he wants all U.S. troops out of Iraq 9 to 10 months after he gets would get the reins of power in the White House? Are you on board with that, Master Sergeant?
If he were president of the United States, yes, I would be for that.
Nancy Lee Zizi, what about Hillary? She's taken some grief for her early vote on Iraq war and for some of her subsequent positions there and her unwillingness to apologize or really backpedal on that. How do you see the war issue factoring in to Iowans' consideration of Hillary's candidacy, Senator Clinton's candidacy at this point?
Well, Senator Clinton has admitted that she, like many of the others, did not have all the information in regard to that vote on the war.
But she still says it was the right vote.
At the time, with the information that she had. One thing that, as I listen to people, that I don't think everybody takes into consideration is what you think you're going to do when you're running may not be feasible when you get in and you find out all the information that you didn't necessarily have before.
Mm-hmm.
I served many years ago as a school board member, and I thought I had all the answers when I was running, and
right.
I found out I still had a lot to learn. I think she knows more than the average person because of being a senator, because of being a first lady. She knows so many people in the world that are in leadership positions. I think that she will make a good decision as she goes along.
Nancy Lee, let me ask you about the issue of Senator Clinton on the electability front, on the contest against the ultimate GOP candidate. What have you learned about her, seeing her so much up close in Iowa in this last year? You know the criticisms that there's a kind of entrenched anti-Hillary sentiment that would be a problem for her, that she's too cool, that she's too, I don't know, programmatic, bureaucratic, in a way, people not enough charisma. She's really worked on putting a different image forward, especially quite lately. But what about the electability, you know, final battle picture with Hillary? If she emerges as the Democrats' candidate, do you think she can take on a Republican, overcome whatever resistance there is to her out there, and win?
Yes, I do. I think she's a person who's strong but warm. I think that she will overcome any objections to her campaign. She's a person who has a lot of contacts, a lot of good information that will be provided to her. My gosh, she's had Madeleine Albright campaigning for her. Her contacts in this country and in other countries are wonderful. I think she can succeed. I think she's electable. And I don't think she's out to cheer us on unrealistically. I think she will be very realistic.
Let's get a call from Lisbon, Iowa, and Roger. Hi, Roger. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say quickly, I've lived in Iowa for about 25 years now and been part of the caucus process many times. I think Iowa is an outstanding state to do this. I've been in conversations. We had dinner with my daughter and some of her friends in their mid-20s yesterday, and the conversation around the dinner table was primarily about the candidates and their stances, and I think there's a widespread participation. There's deep engagement. There are these kinds of deep conversations, and the caucus process forces people to talk about their ideas.
So you think the country won't go wrong taking its cue from Iowa here?
I think that's right, and I think there's a widespread understanding that we have an outstanding group of candidates and that the good ideas of all of them will emerge as part of the party platform, regardless of who's leading. And I'll be caucusing for Obama, but I'll be happy with most of the others.
So there's a raise the flag for Iowa call right there, and we hear it. Ira Lasher, how about it? The criticism we've heard of Obama in this hour, I mean, the upside is he's excited a lot of people and got them into his tent. You're Nancy Lee saying, well, she wants somebody who's also going to be realistic and who can actually get it done when the chips are down. And Sean Larson, you know, saying he wants a fighter. That's going to be required. What do you say from the Obama angle?
Well, first of all, I don't think that there's any reason to exclude one of those characteristics from Senator Obama. I think he's inspirational, as well as being realistic about what he needs to do to get the country on the right path again. And as far as I would like to my major reason for supporting him is exactly what your last caller mentioned about how the rest of the nation should take the results that happened tonight seriously, because we're not asking people to take 5 or 10 minutes out of their day to go ahead and vote at a time of their choosing. The caucus process is a very concerted, serious process. We're asking people to go to an appointed place at an appointed time and make very serious reservations and decisions about what they're doing. And when the rest of the nation sees how well that a particular candidate can get a certain percentage of people to do this, I think that it sends a clear signal that not only is this person someone that they should be voting for, but someone that they should be trusting, because this person has been able to command the trust and the inspiration and the confidence of so many people. So this is the big reason that since we've heard from so many callers who have lined up behind Senator Obama, I think this is a perfect reason the rest of the country should pay attention we're saying tonight.
Yeah, you're feeling it. Sean Larson, what do you think? You're out there for Edwards tonight. Is he going to put it over the top at the Callahan Middle School? And if he doesn't, do you move somewhere else?
Oh, he will definitely put it over the top tonight. And what we're talking about is not ordering a latte. We are picking the next leader of the free world. So that is going to be a big thing.
Big noise out of Iowa. Sean Larson, Ira Lasher, Nancy Lee Zizi, our thanks to all of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.